So, it's Pixel Buds week. It finally happened after announced in October, the second generation Pixel Buds are finally here. And this is a long time coming. It felt so much longer than when the Nest Hub Max was announced at I.O. and just before made by Google in October. That's when that finally came out. But I think a lot of more people were waiting for these Pixel Buds.
They're hot, that's for sure. Selling out everywhere and then getting restocked with a weeks of delay.
Mm-hmm. The Google store is still holding up. So these went live 9 a.m. Pacific on Monday. 24 hours later, by Tuesday afternoon, it was gone. Google put up a wait list. And as of Wednesday, they're back and they're still here. As of a few minutes ago, you can still buy them with delivery in the next 2 weeks. So I think that's a bit more optimistic in terms of them having enough of this. I hope they know how much demand there is for this.
It shows. It really does. I mean, I imagine that they're limiting it to one color right now, so that they're able to keep up with the early demand. Yeah. And then pump out those other colors once things slow steady out.
Yeah. If anything, they would. I hope they didn't announce these until they had sufficient stock ready in the factories and all that. I am curious, given with COVID-19, how far back these were produced. I haven't seen any estimate of like a production date. So with that in mind, before we start talking about them in earnest, to everybody watching right now, if you have any questions, please jump into the chat and on the YouTube chat or use Twitter to reach out and ask your questions, and we'll be sure to answer as many as we can, because I have one, and Ben, you also have yours now.
I have two.
Yes, two. You have two.
Oh, yeah. On purpose.
Okay. Kyle, did you buy them?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
I waited until the restock happened. I felt the FOMO of having not ordered them in the first batch, and I immediately jumped on it when they came back.
Hey, that's good. How far out are you in terms of getting yours?
2 weeks, like you said.
2 weeks, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to say the 12th was the absolute earliest I could get it if I paid $18 to have it that one day sooner. It was the 12th or the 13th, or the 13th and the 14th for free. I'm like, I'm not spending $19 for an extra day. No, thank you.
Ben, you remember where your Google store order shipped from?
From California.
How about the Google store ones?
Yeah, no, that was from California. The Verizon one that I ordered, I don't remember.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so California, that's interesting. I would have thought they'd had that even though I know they have some Google Fi at least has a shipping facility in Illinois. I'm sure the Google store does as well.
Oh yeah, like Carroll Stream, Illinois.
Streams, Illinois.
Yeah, that's where they usually come from. They didn't this time.
Who knows what the reason behind that is. So you've had them the longest, Ben. What's your 10-second pitch?
I think they're just really good. They hit all of my boxes. They don't hit everyone's boxes, but they really do hit everything I wanted.
Mm-hmm. I am still getting used to the shape, actually. I can say they are an improvement over the first gen Pixel Buds, which I have.
Oh, far away.
Here.
Far
yeah.
away.
But at the same time, I'm so iffy on these tips, on these ear tips, because have you had a chance to change sizes, or did the medium ones at the pre-installed work out for you?
The pre-installed seemed to work. I might try one of the bigger ones because I noticed today when I was walking that they were slipping a little bit, but they fit pretty well.
So I tried going to the smaller ones, and it honestly felt like I had an ear tip in my ear. It felt like I was just sticking I don't know, I would even say like a pen into my ear, because I could just, it felt so, I could feel the metal, like the metal tip of the earbud so much, and it was like disconcerting. But at the same time, like the medium ones don't really fit for me, so I'm in between ear tips.
Yeah, there's some people in the chat that are wondering if we tried any replacement tips, like we got foam tips somebody's asking about.
I actually do intend to try and find some of those just to answer that question. I'm not the biggest fan of foam tips because I feel like they make the plugged feeling even worse, but I do want to try.
I mean, there shouldn't be as much of the plugged feeling because of the vent hole, right?
Okay, hopefully. That was my biggest reason that I wanted to buy these headphones. The plugged feeling is lessened considerably for me. It's still there, though, just because there's a seal in your ear. So, like, when you talk or when you eat or something like that, you still feel that feeling, but it doesn't feel like pressure anymore. It just feels like there's something in your ear.
Yeah. I'm not getting that feel. I'm actually kind of afraid that they're going to come out at times. Well, actually, I did have one opportunity where one scenario when that happened. I just got them, and I was like trying to see how they fit in my ear in the mirror, and apparently I didn't have one of them in far enough, and it just tumbled out. So there's not the security. I don't know.
That's very interesting. I always thought that, you know, shaped like that, they wouldn't just fall out. Like you would lose the seal for sure, but I wouldn't expect it to actually fall out of my ear.
Yeah, it just over time it just like loosened, and I am noticing myself actively pushing them back into my ear. After I walk around and then sit back down, I do notice myself like pushing them back into the ear. So that's
I haven't had too much trouble with that. Like yesterday, just because I wanted to see how battery life was and actually compare it, I found that after like 2 hours, it started to move around just a little bit. You know, if I was staying still, they pretty much didn't move. If I was, you know, walking around and everything, then they would move around a little bit more. But I mean, it's better than almost any other pair of silicone tipped earbuds I've tried. It's like I've had the Jabra 75Ts and the Galaxy Buds Plus, and a cheap set I got from someone at CES, but I have to adjust them, feeling like almost constantly, it feels like. But the Pixel Buds, I never have to touch if I'm not just constantly moving.
Yeah. Again, going back to the silicone ear tips, they feel like they're so thin. Do you notice how bad the quality feels? Like the materials they use are so thin and flimsy compared to literally any other, like, I don't know, cheap skull candy earphones that everybody has had at one point.
They're definitely thin, but I don't think that's a negative in my opinion, because it just keeps it overall very lightweight, which I like.
Yes, the earbuds, they weigh fine. I barely feel them, but that is heavy,
great,
fantastic.
Yeah,
heavy case though.
Very. It's what would you say? At least 50% heavier than AirPods.
Yeah, definitely regular AirPods. They might. So I have AirPods Pro here, and they're about the same. But I feel like the weight distribution is so much more at the bottom with the Pixel Buds case. If that makes any sense, this is an even distribution. Just to spend like 5 seconds on the case. This is a lovely case.
It's fantastic.
It's perfectly pebble shaped. It's a beautiful pebble that fits in your hand. And I think it's going to be one of those things that people like just simply like holding. I think you can opine for ages about the satisfying close and open.
Very much so. It's very nice. I pulled out all my other earbuds. It's not as, like, my thing with earbud cases like this is they need to be small. And
yes,
it's not as small. Like, AirPods is the golden standard, the original AirPods.
Absolutely.
And this one is a little taller, a little thicker, but it's still fine. It feels so much smaller than the Galaxy Buds case because it's thinner and shorter.
Yeah, Galaxy Buds case. I see where they were going, but it feels really weird.
Yeah, like the Galaxy Buds are good enough, but it's not small enough in my opinion. And it just, the long shape and everything, it just feels strange. But the Pixel Buds case feels great.
Yeah, you notice like with those mainstream people who are doing true wireless earbuds, they've all like consolidated around this like rectangular case where the earbuds go side by side and that's it. Mm-hmm. I think the Tick Pods also have that same case design.
They do, although I will give them credit. Theirs is elongated like that too, but it is small. It is the smallest physical size earbuds case out there, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So
they sounded like anything good.
So I might actually be ruining the lid for you and people right now. But okay, so in a closed position, turn the Pixel Buds around so that you can see the hinge, the kind of hinge mechanism, mm-hmm. and just push the top. There's so much variance. There's so much left and right wiggle.
I have absolutely no wiggle.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Because AirPods have the same issue. I know. They've for generations, they've had the same issues. But I am seeing a wiggle. You can like literally see the rectangular piece of plastic moving between.
You're saying put your hand on, like hold the ear so the back is facing you and then push yes. on the top, on the side.
Left and right. So you're pushing. Yeah, push left and right.
Yeah, it doesn't budge at all.
Ooh.
I wonder if that's another quality control type issue, like some Stadia controllers and their triggers.
I'll have to follow up with you with that.
I got to be honest, I'm not really seeing that much on the AirPods either, and mine are very old, so maybe I'm just not doing the same thing you are.
We'll follow up on that later. But yeah. Brilliant case. Wireless charging. So,
speaking of wireless charging.
Yeah, the Pixel Stand. And so, friend of the site, Max from XDA, I think he was one of the first people to point out how you could not charge the Pixel Buds case on the Pixel Stand. And then the Made by Google Twitter account had a very cheeky reply, which Ben, you tested out.
Yeah, so, and I actually tested this out the night before, too. I went to try to charge it on the Pixel Stand, and it didn't work. But they replied to him and said, have you tried it upside down? Which, when, who was it? I think Damien linked that in our Slack chat. He said that, and I went, and I just got up, I took my Pixel Buds, and I walked into the bedroom where my Pixel Stand was to try it out. And from the other room, my wife hears me yell, oh my god, it works.
Yeah.
Because I put them on upside down. And they started charging.
That is, oh man, that is not, I don't know how to.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, every vertical charger does not do that. The only vertical charger that does do that, like for the AirPods, for example, is the one from Nomad, which, by the way, does not do it on the Pixel Buds just because of the placement of the coils. But normally that doesn't work just because of the placement of the coils. But Google just somehow caught. I don't think this was by design at all. But
absolutely,
it just caught
not.
a lucky break, and the height is just right if you put it upside down, to where the coils line up enough to send the charge through. It's ridiculous, but it works. So
now, considering Abner was saying that it's kind of bottom heavy, how does it stay balanced? Okay, on the Pixel Stand.
Yeah, because if you remember, like the Pixel stand has those kind of ridges down at the bottom. So it actually does kind of balance in there just right.
Which I was worried about that, given how it's so fit, the top and bottom are so spherical, let's say.
Yeah, but I feel like 90% of the people who are going to buy this are just going to have one of those cheap flat chargers either
Absolutely.
by the door or near their nightstand. I mean, that's how I'm charging mine. I have one of those UV cleaning stations on my near my doorstep, and it has a wireless charger on top, and I just put it on that one. I'm not using it.
I know Google is advertising the ones from Mophie, I believe, but they're currently sold out on the Google Store. Well, both chargers are sold out on the Google Store. So yeah, audio quality.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's the way, I mean, the obvious comparison is just AirPods, because that's clearly what the market Google wants to go for. And, you know, just compared to the original AirPods, because that's my baseline, I think it sounds pretty much the same, except for in bass. The AirPods kind of push the bass a little harder, so it's more present, but it's a little harsher to me. On Pixel Buds, the bass is less, it's less obvious, but it feels nicer, is the way I've described it.
Yeah, I am really not a picky audio person. So yeah, they sound good.
I'm excited to be very judgmental about the audio in about 2 weeks here.
I mean, they sound as good as any of pretty much all of the truly wireless earbuds don't sound great. The only one that does truly sound great are those Jabra ones, which I really need to finish reviewing. That's the only one that really sounds good to me. And the Pixel, but they're good enough for just sticking them on, cleaning around the house, taking the dog on a walk, which is what they're designed for.
So with that, there's like the basic hardware of these Pixel Buds, but the real sell here from Google is the software, which is not to say that Google did not do a genuinely good job designing the hardware, but on of equal importance to them of is the software side, and that has to start at Assistant. I've actually noticed it can't really, hey Google doesn't work as well for me on as well as okay Google on the Pixel Buds. I'm not sure if you've noticed that. Maybe I need to reprogram my voice.
I can't say I've tried that, which I do. I did think it was interesting that when it's during setup, like everything else has transitioned to Hey Google, but this one transitioned to Okay Google, which I know we just set off so many people's things, including mine. But yeah, the Pixel Buds they seem to be pushing that phrase versus Hey.
Which is interesting, so interesting.
Yeah. But
I could that
you know.
be related to the jaw movement muting that they were talking about?
Could be.
Hey, okay. Interesting. We need
I
like a
mean,
slow motion camera.
I haven't had that many issues with saying hey. It's maybe 8 out of 10,
8 out of 10.
which is low for Google, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I actually prefer invoking the I prefer in, invoking assistant by holding down on the button on the my a press and hold will either read your notifications or start listening for the command, and I think that's a bit more subtle way on the for activating assistant
I
and
agree.
kind of more a bit more futuristic.
On that note, though, that actually reminds me of something. On mine, I've noticed that the play pause function actually is a little unreliable.
Yes.
I keep accidentally like changing the volume.
Oh, I was going to describe a different issue where I feel like I need a much more forceful.
Oh, like yours is too sensitive.
I need a forceful tap to play pause. The touch surface is kind of small.
Yeah, compared
I
to the
ha haven't.
originals.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to use the original Pixel Buds in a bit, but they feel small.
I would say, like, I'm looking at them side by side right now. I'd say the originals are probably 40 to 50% bigger. Now, that's probably exaggeration. They're considerably bigger.
It makes a difference. I think it does make a difference in interaction. Because the one thing I loved about the original Pixel Buds was that touch surface. But here, especially for swipes, as you were saying about volume, it feels more exaggerated. Like, we only have had these for a few days, but you swiping feels like an exaggerated motion.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys are making me want to cancel my order.
No, don't. We're nitpicking. They're good.
Yeah, and once you know how to use it, you get there.
And the thing is, like, so every pair of earbuds pretty much has some kind of touch interaction. Outside of AirPods, just because they don't have a seal, I don't like using touch interactions with them because of the seal. It's uncomfortable to do it. But on the Pixel Buds, it's not at all. Like, to me, it feels really comfortable to do those touch interactions, where on, like, when I was using the Galaxy Buds, I barely wanted to touch anything just because it's, you know, it affects the sound and it was uncomfortable to do it.
Yeah, and it felt like you were pushing in your ear, like, there has to be a fine balance in how you, and when designing, like, headphones or touch surfaces, how much force you need to apply. And I guess, like, the flat surface really does help on the Pixel Buds.
Yeah. And just the way Google's gestures are, they're less forceful than the rest.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about these gestures compared to the first Pixel Buds, you cannot customize them as of yet. They're set in stone. Just to quickly run them off, a tap is play pause, double tap is next track, a triple tap is the last song. And I kind of wish you could do something with triple tap to customize it. I don't know what you could, what other gesture you would want, but that feels like ripe for a user customization option.
Well, I'll say that the number one thing I still wish these had, just from the time I was using the Galaxy Buds, is on the Galaxy Buds you could tap and hold one of the sides individually to trigger, like, your Spotify playlist from where you left off. And that was magical, and I wish Google would have done, you know, maybe that's a triple tap customization that you could do with, like, either Spotify or YouTube Music or whatever. Because it was more than just play pause. Like, even if the app hadn't been open for hours, you just tap and hold and it would come back.
I feel like that use case is kind of already covered by Assistant, though. You just say, Shmay Shmoogle, play Spotify.
Yeah, but it's also nice not to have to talk.
Imagine if you could set a custom routine to a triple tap. That would be amazing.
That would be great.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that'd be
great. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah, that sounds
good. There's a comment piece.
That's right. Yeah, triple tap, custom routines, macros. Okay, so Assistant, but yeah. With my usage, I've noticed that, unfortunately, the new Google Assistant does not activate when you have the headphones in, which makes sense. I do kind of miss the speed, in a way, of, I don't know, it's, I miss the visual aspects of the Assistant.
I mean, but the point would be to be able to use the Assistant without looking or taking out your phone, right?
Yeah, but sometimes you do have your phone on with it. Okay, I'm basically describing my brushing my teeth routine when I have my phone unlocked and headphones in, but I digress.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Assistant. I think the Assistant experience is basically unchanged from the first and the second, between the first and second generation. It still reads you your notifications, again, with that triple tap. It's still too... It still takes too long. It's still... I would love if Assistant, like, literally dropped all the conversational aspects and just started reading off like, these are the notifications you have, Gmail, and just like fast reading instead of, it couches things in a, like a helpful way that you might expect from a Google Home. But on, I think the ear-based nature of being right there means that maybe you can do some shortcuts to speed it up. Yeah, how about you, Ben? How's your assistant experience so far?
So pretty much what I've used it so far is asking for notifications, which my complaint there is that for some reason it only wants to read off messages to me. Like, it won't read like a Gmail notification when it comes through. I just haven't turned on the setting or something.
Yeah, that's configurable. It should be that I have non-Pixel Buds assistant headphones and they're configurable there.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to dig into the settings to find out, but you know, it's been good just asking it, you know, like start playing my music, start, you know, what's the weather, turn on the light, stuff like that. Like, I was, like I said the other day, I was wearing them for almost 4 hours straight. And they didn't, you know, I used them for several assistant commands and they were fine. They worked quick. You know, obviously next gen's quicker, but it was still good.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, have you had a chance to use adaptive sound yet?
I think I turned it on, but I can't say I've noticed anything because, you know, quarantine life, not leaving house.
Yeah, that's going to be a bit hard to test, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it sounds cool. That is like, it's unfortunate that's the second big like helpful software feature they bet the boat on, so to speak.
I like it. I like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be nice for, like, I wear my earbuds a lot if I go play, like, you know, if I'm going to play, I like to play disc golf, and if I'm doing that alone, I can see that being nice, you know, if it gets louder near the road or something, but mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like that's something people are going to more so use in cities, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, I don't think it's a huge complaint.
Yeah, so yeah, it's definitely not a it's definitely not a deal breaker. So speaking of those like helpful features, one of the things they really pitched when they announced the Pixel Buds was that it's a taste of what ambient computing is, and to Google, ambient computing is always having an assistant wherever you are. And so one of the interesting features that we saw in the Pixel Buds companion app that was in development was something called attention alerts. Basically, the Pixel Buds would be able to recognize a baby crying, a dog barking, and a smoke alarm. So I guess the basic idea, extrapolating from what we saw in the code, is as you're listening to music, you're listening to a podcast, you can't really hear the outside world around you. And if your Pixel Buds detect these critical things, like your baby crying or smoke alarm, it'll ping you to, we don't exactly know how, the notification, maybe there'll be assistance saying, crying detected or whatever, but you'll get some kind of alert. And, how useful do, either of you think that's going to be?
I imagine there's going to be people who intentionally want to disable that.
Yeah,
more to think about, but it's true.
I think it could be useful. I don't see how much a dog barking could be useful, because I mean, as we can hear, you can usually hear that over your music, especially because the Pixel Buds have that vent, so you can still hear the outside world a little bit. I mean, one thing I would like on that kind of example, the thing I would love to see them do is maybe you could, you know, tell it your name, and if someone walks up to you saying your name, they could either turn on the microphone and pipe that through so you could hear it, or maybe just, you know, say someone's trying to get your attention, because then you don't get, like, I'm sure everyone's had that experience where they're listening to their music and they can't hear anything, and then someone comes and taps them on the shoulder.
Mm.
Oh, God, so jarring.
It'd be great if they could instead, you know, hear something where it's clearly someone trying to get your attention, like, hey, look over here, or hey, Ben, or something like that. Because then, you know, they could get, you know, send that notification instead of it being so jarring. And that would be a legitimately useful use case for that.
Yeah, a pass-through. At the AirPods Pro, you can quickly press down to allow a pass-through mode. So I guess, again, this is still very early days for the Pixel Buds. But what I am curious about is this vision that Google's trying to push. And I think a lot of that is trying to make an audio-based assistant that can help you go through your life to triage your notifications. Again, early days of these Pixel Buds, but then again, assistant on headphones have been there for a while. But what do you think of like this assistant in your earbud as an actual assistant that gets you help throughout the day? Do you see yourselves like instead of triaging stuff with your smartwatch, you use audio?
That's exactly what I bought the Pixel Buds for. So yes, because I was sold on the idea of these new Pixel Buds since I tried the USB-C headphones that came with the Pixel 3. I've wanted this for that long. I've been excited to just be able to do whatever I need to do with my day. Notification comes through on my phone. Either I can ignore it because it doesn't come to my Pixel Buds, or I can hear what it is and see if I care about it and move on with my life if I don't.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that use case is why the original Pixel Buds for the longest time were like my dedicated airport headphones. Because, like, you know, just as you're walking to your gate, as you're getting through security, you don't have to pull out your phone every 2 seconds to get that information. It would just read it out to me because I was already going to be listening to music as I was walking.
Yeah.
So it was that's a use case that I've absolutely loved. And, you know, if we can ever travel again, I think these will be even better at the job because they're more comfortable and less of a hassle to take in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like how far does the assistant have to advance? Okay, from today's assistant, the current ones that you have on any Google Assistant headphones, and how much time you've had with the Pixel Buds, what needs to be better to fulfill that grand vision? For me, it's I mentioned it at the top briefly, but it's the idea that it needs to be faster. It needs to, you can make audio shortcuts for this type of device, in that you can just read things off in a list. You don't need to do pauses. You don't need to provide context on every single message. I just think speed is, because like with the original Pixel Buds, maybe because they were the original Pixel Buds, I just ended up looking at my phone like halfway to like the audio reply.
Yeah, I agree. Speed could be improved. Even if that's just a toggle on your phone that says speed up the responses. Like, something does that. There's a speed up the responses thing. I don't know if that's on Google Home or on your phone. One of them, it ignores the extra contacts and just gives you the information. I mean, that would be great for the earbuds, but...
Yeah, I think that's just a new Google Assistant, sorry.
Maybe it is. I think that'd be great for the earbuds, but really, for me, the biggest thing that I would like to see is just better... having it better play with your music. Because, like, as it stands right now, it'll just interrupt your music no matter what. It'd be nice if, you know, if it's, I don't know, it would, like, Google uses AI to make things feel smoother. It'd be nice if they could use that to maybe make it tune in with the song, like if it detects a lull in the song.
That'd be fun.
That's when it rings in with a notification, or in between songs, it waits to save the notification until then. That would be great. Because as it stands right now, like, it's really easy to be, you know, in the middle of your song and enjoying it, and then all of a sudden, oh, this person texted you, and it just interrupts it, and then the song keeps playing. It'd be nice if it waited that would be something that would just be kind of cool.
Definitely. For Google Assistant to understand context like that would be so fantastic. So with that in mind, I think we should knock off a few questions that we've been asked. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a list compiled if you'd like me to run through them, because you two would be the ones better fit to answer them.
Sounds good. Go for it.
So one of the ones that's I've noticed it even just in screenshots that you've shared, Ben, but have the both of you noticed that the each of the Pixel Buds kind of discharges its battery at a different rate?
Yes, they do. When I was doing my main test, at one point they were up to 12% difference, and then they evened out as time went on. I'm gonna guess that's a software thing and it's not reporting it back correctly.
Did you see any correlation to which side you're interacting with?
Yeah, no, there were, because most of the time I was using it yesterday, I was not touching it or doing anything. It was just straight, I was listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, to me it feels like it was just a software thing and it was reporting wrong, but I guess it could be, it just depends on how Google is syncing the two of them together. Like if there's a primary bud and a secondary bud and they're switching roles or whatever.
When the assistant says something to you, is it coming in both ears or is it just coming in one or the other?
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's both. Okay. No, that said, I use one button at a time. I'm that person.
Oh wow.
I don't blame you. That's fine.
For the ambient use case, that's great. Not so great for music, but
even with music, I do have to admit that's my lifestyle.
I do that a lot. In public settings, like if I take my dog up to the park, I'll leave one out just so I can hear other people if they talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that, but yeah, they definitely discharge at weird rates. They either discharge at weird rates or the reporting back to your phone is severely messed up.
Wow. Okay. Next up, we got one asks. Essentially, based on the loose impressions you got so far, which did you prefer, the Galaxy Buds Plus or the Pixel Buds?
So for my personal preference, I don't like the plugged feeling of the Galaxy Buds Plus, and also they sound awful on anything that's not a Samsung phone.
Really?
That's not.
So the Galaxy Buds can talk to a Samsung phone and use specific, I'm trying to think of the word.
Codecs, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. They're using something like that to talk to the phone, and it sounds better. Like, there is a noticeable difference, even if you're using the same presets.
Huh.
There is a noticeable difference. Like, they sound a little fuller when they're connected to a Samsung phone.
Really?
So when I used them on my Pixel, like, how I reviewed them was using them with a Pixel. I did not like it that much. When it's connected to a Samsung phone, it sounds great. That's the only pair of headphones you should probably buy just because they're a good deal and they pair very well with them. But if you're on any other Android phone, I would say get the Pixel Buds just for the sound quality alone. But also, I prefer the Pixel Buds because of the vent, because they don't feel as plugged. The touch controls are nicer. Google Assistant all the way. And also because Google Assistant's faster on Pixel Buds versus all the other earbuds. So it's just, if you have a Samsung phone, get Galaxy Buds. They're good. The battery life really is that good, and they sound just fine. But I would say any other Android phone should probably look at Pixel Buds first, unless price is, you know, the conversation.
Hmm. And then how good is the pairing experience actually? Like, the fast pair makes a lot of promises, but does it live up?
It worked great for me. Yeah, it worked great. Yeah.
Fast pair always works. The notification that comes down that shows each battery percentage for every component, it works all the time.
Yeah, the notification came up for me in seconds after I opened it. It actually showed up on my wife's phone, too. It was nearby.
Proximity, yeah.
Yeah. And the pairing process is slow. Like, we'll compare it to AirPods just because that's the obvious comparison.
The baseline.
It is slower than the iPhone pairing process, but that's not because of the actual process of connecting the headphones. It's because the first time you pair them to an Android phone, they go through a longer setup process, like activating Google Assistant, turning on that notification ability, and telling you about the fit of the earbuds in your ear and all that kind of stuff, and teaching you the touch controls. Whereas I think the AirPods, they just, Abner, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you used all of them, but from my memory, they just say, they just pop up and say connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. On iOS devices. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's faster on iPhone, but I think it's just as reliable and maybe better with the Pixel just because they are giving you an explanation. They're not just leaving you to figure everything out, which is probably good for people who are new.
Oh, just to add a brief another observation. How have the Pixel Buds, like, so Google's claim is it'll work even if your phone is 3 rooms away or a football field away. It feels the same as my current, well, then again, the AirPods have that special magical Bluetooth chip, but the Pixel Buds to me seem to be as good as the AirPods in terms of distance.
Yeah,
inside.
I can't test that as well. I live in a fairly, like, not a huge apartment, so it's, you know, I can leave my phone in my office and go to the bedroom and I have no issues, and there's probably like 3 walls between there. It's fine. It seems just as good as any other pair of headphones I've tested. It's better for me than AirPods, but that's because I think the wireless charging case version of the original AirPods has some, they play weird with Android.
Oh, interesting.
I've always had issues with them. Like they skip a lot or whatever, but I've had no issues with the connection on Pixel Buds.
Yeah. So I think that was it for the reader questions, viewer questions.
What about noise cancellation?
Oh yeah. Just like loose thoughts on should it have had it? Maybe, you know, what are you okay with it not having it? Are you happy with it the way that it is?
It's fine. It's not, I don't think these Pixel Buds are meant to be like a demo of ambient computing. And to that extent, the priorities are different for these kinds of headphones. I just think the priorities are different here.
Yeah, where you want to hear the outside world.
Yeah.
I think that's just a choice. Like, that's kind of what the original AirPods were for, you could still hear the outside world, but you could add your music to it. And if you want noise-canceling headphones, go get noise-canceling headphones.
Proper headphones instead of earbuds, I think.
Yeah, I think noise cancellation in earbuds is bad. I've never liked it. It feels uncomfortable to me. I haven't tried the AirPods Pro, but I can't speak to that. But
it's the convenience. I think the quality is passable in terms of ANC, active noise cancellation. But otherwise, there is like something insanely futuristic to like being able to pull out these small packages and block everything out. But at the same time, the trade-off you're making is leaning towards convenience.
Yeah. No, and I think it's worth it, especially because one of the things, like, the people a lot of times will compare these two, I've seen so many comparisons to Sony's wireless earbuds, which have active noise cancellation and passive noise cancellation, and, you know, that's great. They're twice the size of Pixel Buds, and it's a whole different list of priorities.
Yeah.
Very different style. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, the Pixel Buds are really stylish.
Yeah.
So nice. And it's so nice not to have something sticking out of your ear that you can feel sticking out of your ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's they focused on having something flush, and it shows. Flush with your ear, and it really shows.
And I didn't think I would ever like this kind of thing, but I kind of like the G, you know, on each of the buds. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, it's subtle and it looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Until you put some kind of D brand skin on it. Not so subtle anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's our first few days with the Pixel Buds. A review is coming, and yeah, as we keep using these, we'll start to see the peculiarities and the more benefits of these headphones. So be sure to watch out for our review eventually. So the next big thing, Google had a big week. Stadia. They had their first Stadia event in 8 or 9 months, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first Stadia Connect.
First one since launch, too.
Yes. Which is, I thought they would be, they did make it seem that Stadia Connects are becoming more closer together than the current schedule that they ended up with, what actually happened. But anyways. So yeah, they had 11 announcements. Kyle, do you want to run down?
Yeah, sure. So the big thing that the big highlight that Google wanted to get out there was just the fact that PUBG is on Stadia. And you can click a link and you're in PUBG and you're playing the game, which is definitely a point in and of itself, just the click a link and play. I feel like that's going to be coming up more often down in the future, but come back to that in a bit. They announced a bunch of games that were just arriving at right then and there, which is also really cool. A lot of people in the comments and on Twitter and everything, they all thought it was so cool that while the event, which was pre-recorded, while the pre-recorded event was happening, you could jump right into the game before the trailer's even done. I thought that was so crazy. So they dropped PUBG, they dropped Get Packed, which Ben is going to have a lot to say about, and Octopath Traveler, which was an old Switch original.
That just sounds like something that's going to be on the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of have that kind of name, but it was a Square Enix game, so.
Yeah.
Alongside that, they dropped the announcement they're going to have 5 EA titles coming to Stadia in the next year or so, or sorry, 3 this year, 2 more at some point.
It sounded like there might be more this year, and that's just what they've confirmed so far.
It could be. It could be. I know for a fact that they gave release windows for 3 games and said 2 more. And
so, yeah. So for a lot of people, EA's explicit support for Stadia, the actual bringing games to the table, that assured them about Stadia as a viable platform.
Yeah, especially it's going to bring in an interesting generation of gaming too, just because it has Madden NFL and FIFA. That's that's a big American audience and a big European audience that are going to be interested in that. And the fact that you don't have to buy a console to enjoy it. I think that's going to really appeal to a lot of people. If not this year, then definitely next year when maybe FIFA or Madden 2022, I guess it would be, because this year would be 2021 edition. When FIFA 2022 comes out and it's maybe not on the current generation console, or you're missing out on the current generation when you're using the current generation version instead of the next generation version, their Stadia, pay the same price, get the best possible version.
Mm-hmm. And Star Wars, I think somebody here is very excited about that.
Indeed I am.
Yeah. It looks like a good plant.
Yeah, I mean, I've been waiting to play that game. Like, I have a PlayStation. I could have played it months ago. But I've been waiting for it to come to Stadia, so I'm glad they finally said it's coming.
No kidding. It's been that game kind of flew under the radar for me, but then I like heard about it after it came out. I'm like, oh my god, I need this, but I'm not gonna play it on PlayStation. It's not gonna happen. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm glad they announced it when they did, because I think the other day it was like half off on PC. Ooh. And had they not announced it for Stadia that day, I probably would have bought it on PC.
And then following up all of that EA stuff, they had three first on Stadia titles that they just all dropped at once. Krayta, which is a very interesting make your own game engine, as it were. It's a platform to both make games and play games that are going to look and feel kind of like Fortnite, just because it's based on the Unreal Engine. It's a Stadia so far exclusive. They might bring some more in down the line, but it definitely, I think it's interesting because this one in particular is one of the few games that is better played with keyboard and mouse than it is with controller. I mean, debatable, of course, with any first-person shooter, but this one, you actually have to have a keyboard to write programming and code to be able to make the game that you want to make. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, but I think that kind of speaks to how Stadia has advantages over traditional consoles, because like, this game really wouldn't be fun to play for that reason on an Xbox or a PlayStation, because most people don't have a keyboard sitting around for their console.
Right, it'd be relying on the people with PCs to do the work of making the games and then just letting all the console players just play. So I thought that was interesting. And then there were two other first on Stadia titles, which are Ember, which looks like Overcooked and Get Packed, but it's about firefighters. Take that for what you will.
It looks hilarious.
It does. It's a good sense of humor, not just in the physics engine being funny, but in the creator's humor being.
Yeah, and in just the concept of hiring a fireman like an Uber.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious on its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hilarious or depressing, because
we'll get there.
The realities of it. But actually my favorite of the titles they announced yesterday, my favorite was actually Wave Break, which is this this weird mixture of Miami Vice meets Tony Hawk's Pro Skater meets Teddy Bears or something.
Remember that game on the second gen Nexus 7 that Google kept advertising the heck out of? It was like jet skis but space.
Riptide. I used to play that all the time.
That's what it reminds me of.
Man, I've not heard of this, but it looks dank.
but
takes itself even less seriously.
yeah.
It really looks hype. I don't know why, but it I feel like it's gonna bring back the Tony Hawk genre without the clunkiness of actually going back and playing an old Tony Hawk game.
Yeah, so 11 announcements. There's more or less 11 announcements. So in the grand scheme, I think this was a pretty good event for them, tied with the fact that the free tier just launched early in the month. Stadia had a very good April.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that it's only April. Like if I was a betting man, I'd say that we're going to get another Stadia Connect next month.
The summer, actually. They announced it very quietly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The summer. Yep. Right at the end. So maybe June then.
Yeah, I definitely think early summer versus late summer.
Probably right in time to drop Orcs Must Die 3 same day, if I had to guess.
That makes sense.
That's definitely going to take the key shot. Like in the way they advertised it, they advertised Doom Eternal a lot on this one, which I think quite a few people found odd because it's already here. Orcs Must Die 3 seems like the next Halo event for them, let's say. I do want to bring up, Kyle, you saw some Destiny 2 usage after Stadia, quote-unquote, base launched. And how was that?
Yeah, so right after, like, 2 days after, let's rewind. Before Stadia launched public, it did the Stadia base tier or free tier launched, there were about 5,000 people per day playing Destiny 2 on Stadia. 2 days later, so day one of Stadia drop, day two, 400% more people. So five times as many people were playing Destiny 2. So went from 5,000 to well over 30,000.
That's significant. That is a significant spike. That's just helps everybody gaming on multiplayer titles.
Absolutely. It was desperately needed. And I didn't flesh this out into the main post, but Destiny 2 is debatably a dying game right now. Like it's a game that needs an infusion of fresh blood, and not even more players is going to help it. It's the player base is leaving.
Yes, because it's so hard to get in.
Well,
I digress.
Yes, it is hard to get in, and the season pass thing. I could go on forever on the reasons why it's losing players right now, but they're losing players, and Stadia still saw a five times spike of players. That's just good in general. That means that there's probably who knows how many of people who know that Destiny 2 is kind of on the downswing and played something else instead. One of the nine free titles, 10 now that PUBG is there, and then three more tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I did see that some people are complaining about too many bots in PUBG, so that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, see, that's the tricky bit because of crossplay. Like, when you're dealing with crossplay, you still have the problem of people like bots and stuff like that that are on those other consoles where bots are possible.
Mm.
Where Destiny 2 has the opposite problem, or has slash had the opposite problem, where you can't get enough people together on Stadia to do obscure things. Or high level matchmaking per se, it's you don't have enough players to get into a game, but you don't have any exploits, you don't have any lag to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tricky balance, and they haven't found it yet, sadly.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's a bit of a dour note too. But Stadia in general is going fine.
So good. Stadia is doing great. Yeah. I am so happy right now to see Stadia doing well.
So yeah, good April. Let's see how they continue that momentum. So the last thing to touch on is Google Meet going free for everyone. They're going free for everyone amid this, even people who don't have G Suite accounts, just regular personal Gmail accounts, can access Google Meet. And this is reflecting how much so many more people are video calling, again, amid the pandemic. So that's a thing. It's still rolling, in the process of rolling out. So we'll see what regular people coming onto Gmail, onto Google Meet looks like. But Ben had this piece comparing it to Zoom and how Zoom is still less friction. And I don't think that's something that Google is going to challenge it on because of how they feel so adamant about this account security and tying it to a account.
Yeah, so Zoom obviously exploded in popularity. And I think the biggest reason for that is just because there's no friction to getting into a Zoom call. If someone makes an account and they set up a Zoom call and they send a link to you, you don't have to set up a Zoom account. You don't have to sign in with a Google or a Facebook account if you don't want to. You just type in your name, type in the password, and you're in the call. That's it. With Google Meet, you still have to have a Google account, which of course, yes, most people have a Google account. But it still presents that friction of, what if they're not signed in? And just what if they don't have a Google account? There are still a lot of people who still use other email services. They still, they're iPhone users who just, they're in that garden and they don't care about anything else. So Google Meet just still presents that one last piece of friction. Like, now that it's free, now that it's not called Hangouts, people aren't going to be as opposed to using it, but just that one last step is what they need. And they say it's because security. I think it's just because they don't want to do that, because then they're getting really no benefit out of people using Google Meet aside from just using
I know they position this as free for everyone, but to me, I think the personal usage of Google Meet versus something so much more frictionless, like Duo, let's say, or FaceTime. They are really pushing this message of free accounts, but at the same time, I think the intended audience for that is like the example they shared of like hospitals being able to contact patients. I think Meet fundamentally still has that business professional angle, and I don't know if they want to go, if whether Google wants to go for the Zoom market precisely, or whether they're still trying to like go for something work where people will still, where businesses, your company will still end up paying to get Meet. So that's my two cents.
Well, yeah, that's the thing though. Zoom didn't want this audience either. They always position themselves as we're business. They were Google Meet, but they were their own product. Mm-hmm. And just somebody at some point, some person decided, hey, I use this for work, but I could probably use this for doing a call with my family or playing a game on Jackbox with my friends.
It's because Zoom has fun features.
Yeah, and it just snowballed from there, because, you know, this person's using Zoom, then, oh yeah, hey, Zoom, this is free, I can use it with my friends, I'll use it too. It just kind of snowballed from there, and now Zoom's super popular, even though it's not designed for what people are using it for. So I think clearly it doesn't matter what the company is pitching it for. Google can say, you know, Meet is not for consumers, go use Duo. It's a simple fact of right now, that's what consumers want to use, is they want to use what Zoom offers and what Google Meet offers. Hmm. So if they want the users, they need to cater to that, because if not, yes, they'll still get hospitals and schools and all that, but there's still a lot more people out there who want to use a service like this.
And that's a good note to end it on. thank you everyone for tuning in this week. We record this podcast on Thursdays. The past few weeks have been light on news. It'll be up. Audio will be available Friday morning. You can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and listen on our site at 9to5google.com if you wish. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to Ben and Kyle. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.